Hello and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show. This is your host, Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is part 2 of 5 in our interview series with Mary Jo Cook Elliott. She is the only, at least at the time of this recording, is the only IFBB Pro competitor who is a raw vegan. Now check this out. Most physique competitors go through a frustrating process of dieting, carb depleting, and deprivation to achieve an award-winning physique. Mary Jo, however, since going raw vegan, has not had to. And in this episode, she's going to explain why and why that is. Also, you're going to learn how she structures her training split to keep up her amazingly ripped and lean physique. And finally, she's going to go over the details of her upper body workout. So without further ado, here is Mary Jo. So how long have you been vegan?
Let's see, it will be, I just had an anniversary. It was my 1 year anniversary, being 100% on, January 6th.
Oh, congratulations.
So
that's awesome.
And that was with my husband and myself. So we both made the decision together, and so it's been a fabulous journey for us this last year. And, so we just had our 1 year anniversary. So we're new to it, but, definitely thriving and, in very, very happy.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. So you've been vegan for a year, and have you been competing since you've gone vegan?
I have. I will go ahead and say that when I made the switch, I was nervous because, you know, of course, coming from a fitness and, bodybuilding or whatever background, and there's a lot of emphasis on, a certain type of nutritional, we'll call it prescription or nutritional practices. And so when you switch to a whole food or plant-based, or raw type of, nutritional lifestyle, there are some things that are definitely missing out of those meal plans. And so, there was a little bit of apprehension, and I definitely armed myself with a lot of research, and I surrounded myself with some great resources and some great mentors, and I have a great support system, and, went on to go ahead and compete, and have been, in my personal opinion and in the feedback that I've gotten from, my trainer and from judges and just kind of from the community at large, I truly am the best that I've ever been.
Wow.
The bikini division, which is, I can't really compare it to the figure division only because I'm not competing in figure anymore. But when I look at bikini, my physique right now, like I said, sitting here today, is the best that it's ever been. I am absolutely just look and feel the best I ever have. And, it's when you look at the variables that you kind of manipulate when you're, a competitor, the biggest one is my nutrition. And so that's definitely a reflection, I guess, of my change in my nutrition.
Well, I just looked at looked up the contest that you were competing in that I could find on the internet. So you competed in March at an IFBB Pro contest in Torrance, right? And you placed
in
the top 5. I saw a picture of you with metal around your neck.
Oh, yeah.
Looking smoking hot.
That was, I will go ahead and tell you, that was probably one of my my just greatest moments was doing that competition. And that was, right here local in Torrance. It was a John Lindsay show. And it was just one of my favorite experiences. And it was just really kind of, when you think about being a competitor and kind of, if anybody if your listeners that are competitors, they kind of know the drill as far as when you're at a competition and the way that your eating practices go or kind of your prep practices, like the days leading up to a competition and the day before and the day of. And, it was definitely different when you're backstage and you're sipping on a green juice out of a mason jar versus, maybe eating some, cold, burnt, sodium-free chicken breast or something like that. It was my nutrition. It was just crazy when I do the comparisons and when I think about how I felt and kind of like how I prepped for that and kind of how I even felt after a competition. Typically, when you're a competitor and you're prepping, your diet is pretty limited and pretty extreme, and there's not a lot of fun stuff, and you tend to have a lot of food cravings, and a lot of competitors post-competition or even leading up to the competition, you kind of have these, we'll go ahead and call them food porn fantasies, where you're like, you just can't stop thinking about all the foods you're going to eat, and it typically involves cakes and cookies and candies and, all kinds of stuff that maybe you weren't eating in a prep program. And for me, with the way my nutrition was is that I didn't have any of that because I was eating foods that my body loved and thrived on. And so I think that when you're dealing with from a physique standpoint, my body was getting exactly what my body needed. But then psychologically or emotionally, I didn't have those weird issues of deprivation that
I know what you're talking about. Well, because when I was working, when I was training at the Sports Club LA, half the trainers were all competitive bodybuilders and figure and bikini competitors, right? And I knew when it was getting close to a contest because suddenly the trainers in the room would just be all pissy all the time, in a bad mood. They didn't have any patience for anybody. They'd come in looking half asleep, and I'd go, "What's your problem, dude or girl?" And they'd tell me, "Oh, I'm dieting down. I'm dieting down." Like the dreaded diet down process. So what you're telling me is that you didn't experience any of that, huh? You didn't have the massive deprivation, feeling like you're starving all the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely not. And, you know, my most exciting, you know, moment, of course, after the whole competition process, and, you know, typically after a competition, you're like, can't wait to just shovel in, you know, Hershey's and Reese's peanut butter cups and cookies and cakes and just all this pizza and all this other garbage. And for me, I just was so, it was just the most amazing experience truly of my life. And, you know, and after the fact, when you kind of just have those reflective moments where you kind of just, you know, reflect on what's just happened. And I remember getting out to my car and just kind of sitting in my car, and I've got my medal around my neck, and I just sat there and I just was like, it's just euphoric. And I thought, this is the most, I mean, I felt so alive. And then I thought, oh, okay, I'm hungry. It's time to eat now. And I reach into my cooler and I pull out the most amazing, beautiful, raw living foods from just my, I mean, and I ate it was a fried avocado tostado, but it's not fried. It was, you know, it's because it's raw. And, you know, it just, and I was so excited to sit there and just, and it wasn't junk food. It was health food. It was nourishing food for my body. And it was the fats that I needed. And, you know, it had everything that I would have wanted previously, you know, in junk food, but I was getting it from real whole foods.
Wow.
Plant-based foods, raw foods. And I just remember just sitting there so excited to eat this because it was one of my favorite meals. And I just was, I'd never felt happier, you know, coming off a competition. I didn't have that, just that exhaustion that sometimes comes just because of the emotional and the physical demands. I just sat there and I just was so alive. And I thought, man, this is truly competing. This is truly being an athlete. And it was an amazing experience.
That's awesome. And did you gain back a whole bunch of weight right afterwards? Oh,
no. And again, don't hate me. I always stay right where I need to be. Even right now, I'm always kind of right where I need to be. And you know, and I just, because I follow sound nutrition, and for me, there is no, you know, on season, off season. There's just my life. There aren't seasons to my life. I make sound nutritional choices. You know, I have never been like, like I said, a junk food person. And don't get me wrong, you know, I do like a good, raw brownie or, you know, some kind of like crazy thing. But I think that my food cravings, and I think that yo-yo process that people get, whether they're a competitor or whether they're just an everyday person, I think when your nutrition is solid and your body's getting what it's needs on a cellular level, that emotionally you're satisfied, physically you're satisfied, and you don't experience that yo-yo. So you keep the nutrition sound and you keep the training where it needs to be, and you truly just, I mean, you thrive. And it's three things that I always tell people, and I'll tell you guys now, is that it's balance, consistency, and moderation. And people always come up to me in a gym and they're like, oh my gosh, MJ, I want to look like you. And it always makes me laugh because why do they want to look like me? So I put it back on them and I say, why don't you just want to be the best you? You don't want to be me because you're not me. You need to be the best you. And the way that you do that is truly following a life of balance, consistency, and moderation. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. But again, it goes back to that 100% mentality that it's okay that following a plant-based, whole foods, vegan, or raw lifestyle, it truly allows you to live a life of balance because it's not about restriction. You can truly eat true whole foods. Your body recognizes what you're putting in it as food, and it responds differently versus some of the other crap you could be putting in your body that just throws off your, I mean, all your body's hormone levels and insulin levels, and, you know, just triggers that addictive side of your brain, and kind of just feeds into that crazed behavior that comes with a lot of that binge cycle that you tend to see in competitors, and then in just people that tend to yo-yo diet. It's kind of, you know, it's on or it's off, it's feast or it's famine, and truly life is about balance.
And so you're raw vegan?
What's that?
So you're raw vegan?
I don't believe
mostly
in giving
raw
labels to myself, but I prefer to eat raw, yes.
So what are you? Do you eat 100% raw, 90% raw, 80%?
You know, in all honesty, if you know, again, I don't believe in putting labels on myself. I live a healthy, balanced lifestyle. But if you were to ask me, yes, you know, I tend to eat, you know, raw foods, and I have. But I'm lucky. I have someone that actually I have a wonderful mentor and company, 118 Degrees here in Orange County, Jenny Ross, and her staff kind of do my meals for me, which makes it very, very easy and very convenient. And it allows me to get that nutritional variety and diversity that I need, that sometimes it's tough with raw foods because, you know, if you're eating seasonally and just the prep work and kind of all of that. But if I choose to have something that's not raw, like if my husband and I want to go out to dinner and we want to go have, like, let's say, you know, vegan pizza or something like that, again, I don't believe in pigeonholing myself into some extreme label where I have to be, again, because you're dealing with pass or fail. You're dealing with percentages. My life isn't a percentage.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's saying that.
Yeah.
So you eat mostly raw foods. That's really, that's what we're asking.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So that's cool. I mean, it's not about labeling you and pigeonholing you. It's just making it easier for people to kind of relate to you and understand what you're doing. So cool. That's great. So you eat mostly raw food. So you're a vegan, or to not give you a label, you eat as much vegan food as humanly possible, right? I'm guessing that encompasses the majority, if not all of your food. It's they're vegan foods.
Yes.
Okay. And
food, yes.
Okay. And the majority of your food happens to be raw too?
It does.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. All right. So again, no labels here. No labels. We're not
pigeonholing
you. Exactly. Yeah. Nobody wants a pigeonhole. Plus, that would be inhumane. So
yes.
So that, well, here's my point on that. That's great, because here you are. So you're eating mostly raw. When you're craving when you have cravings, or if you want to treat yourself, well, shoot. If you're going to eat a raw vegan treat, how bad could it possibly be for your body? If anything, it's going to benefit your health, right?
Right. And, you know, but I mean, even again, you can take anything. Like some of my biggest concerns and my questions when I decided to, you know, make the transition, and it was, you know, I know I have my, like, anniversary date where it was kind of like, okay, this is where we are from, you know, this is the decision that I've made, this is the life that I'd like to live. But even prior to that, the transition was a long time in coming as far as bringing in, you know, whole food nutrition and, you know, plant-based nutrition and kind of really evaluating the things I was putting in my body. But, you know, when you look at, let's say, my concern was, okay, when I look at, let's say, veganism, there's just as many vegan junk foods as there is standard American diet junk foods. And there's just as many things in a raw food, you know, lifestyle that aren't best for you when you're dealing with high amounts of sugar and high amounts of fat. Anything in excess or anything that's an extreme can take the health benefits and kind of negate that. And so my big thing is, I'm like, I don't eat junk food just normally. I don't want to become a vegan and rely on vegan junk foods. And, you know, and when I'm dealing with raw foods, I'm not just going to eat raw cookies and cakes and, you know, puddings all day long. You know, it's truly mindful eating. Let's see, what's the word I'm looking for? Anyhow, yeah. So I mean, and it's intuitive eating, listening to your body. So again, it's winter time, even though in SoCal we really don't get a crazy, crazy winter like we do in some places. But if you know, I'm very in tune with my body, and if I feel like my body will say is lagging, or my performance in the gym is lagging, or I'm feeling deficient, then I look at nutritionally kind of what I've been eating or what I'm eating, and I think, okay, you know what, maybe this would be a good time for me to eat some, let's say, some sweet potatoes or some, you know, squash or some things that tend to be, you know, that you wouldn't find in a typical raw foods, raw foods diet. So, you know, maybe it would be more high raw, if you will. But, I mean, I believe in eating intuitively and eating balanced. And, you know, and I think that when you're dealing, like, with junk foods, any lifestyle that a person chooses to live, they can run the risk of falling into the junk food trap.
I find it hard to believe that that a comparing raw vegan junk foods to non-vegan and non-raw junk foods are even in the same ballpark or even in the same universe together.
No, they're not.
You know, you can, I mean, first of all, you know, anybody, first of all, how many, you know, yeah, you can create a lot of raw vegan, and I have to put quotations around this, junk food. The reason is because you're going to derive a health benefit from any raw vegan whole food. I don't care if it's if it's converted into, you know, something that looks like a pastry or a pudding. It's like, you know, the worst thing I can think of right now is, geez, if I wanted to go kill myself, the worst raw vegan food I can think of right now, if I tried to create one, would be like a banana ice cream, you know, taking like raw bananas and blending it in my Vitamix. Oh, no, shoot me. You know, I'm at least going to get some vitamins
right.
and minerals from it and some fiber. It's like I'm going to derive a health benefit from it. But
oh yeah,
going back to what you were talking about, like this time around, here you are. You're doing it raw vegan style, and mm-hmm. you go through your contest, your pre-contest, contest, and then post-contest, and really what you're telling me is it's not that much of a difference in terms of your like how much you're craving food and how much it's messing with your mind, whereas when I look at my old friends back at the sports club, my competitive bodybuilding and physique friends, they would be all over the map with their nutrition. You know, off season,
oh, yeah.
they're eating like absolute garbage, and then all of a sudden, several months out, they're restricting themselves to the super low carb, low calorie, super high protein. They're pissed off all the time. They're feeling like crap. And then a couple weeks out before the contest, they look amazing. You know, they've got
right.
these super ripped physiques. And then no joke, a week afterwards, I mean, if my friend at the time, Cesar Martinez, I watched him compete in a contest. 1 week later, he's up 20 freaking pounds. 20 pounds
in a
Cesar.
Week.
Jeez Louise.
And I know it.
I'm like, dude, chill. I don't know
right.
what he, I don't know what his favorite foods are, but I definitely, I can tell you that they're not raw vegan. I mean, I don't know if, I want to say Twinkies because it's just easy for me to say that, but I forget. He was like really into some, I don't remember if it was pasta or pizza or something like that. And then same with a few other chicks. Oh my God. I was talking to this guy, this competitive bodybuilder or former competitive bodybuilder, Eric Bowie. And we were having this conversation about figure competitors and bikini competitors and kind of talking about, you know, why a guy like him wouldn't be dating a figure competitor or a,
right.
a bikini competitor. And he just straight up and said, you know why? Because they look smoking hot 2 months out of the year, and the rest of the time off season, they're like linebackers.
Right. No,
I
know
because
Eric
they're
too,
creating,
and I can
they're
just
creating,
hear him saying that. But yeah,
you can picture him saying that.
It's a crazy, you know, it can be a crazy lifestyle for a lot of competitors. And, you know, unfortunately, I think sometimes that what gets lost is that it's about health and fitness, and you can take anything. I think that's what I was trying to get to when I was talking about, you know, your standard foods, and then you have vegan foods, and then you could have raw foods, is that, you know, you can take anything to, you know, to the extreme, and there's different levels. But, yeah, when you're dealing with just like a traditional standard bodybuilding crazy diet, yeah, you're going to get those mood swings. You're going to get those, you know, binge cycles, and we'll say purge cycles, you know, where they're denying themselves. And it's crazy. It throws off your hormones. It throws off your moods. It throws off your life. And people just really kind of don't want to be around you so much when you're, you know, it's high and low. And that's crazy.
Yeah, and you're doing raw
crazy
vegan style.
Crazy way to live.
I love raw vegan style. I just think it's like one of the coolest ways, the easiest,
awesome.
Most simple, no-brainer ways to get in freaking amazing shape and be in amazing health. Because you just – it's – you really have to try. In fact, I don't even know how I would pull it off. But you would have to be a mad scientist to figure out how to screw your health up on a raw vegan diet. It would just – you would have to calculate how to pull off screwing up your health that way. I don't even know how you would do it. And anybody who's just a normal human being that doesn't have mental illness, you're going to do freaking awesome on a raw vegan diet. And what you did is what most people going through the process. Well, now I say most people. I'm talking about fitness or figure or physique competitors. They go through these whack cycles of nutrition that just boggles my mind. Insulin spiking to no end and then shutting it down, going to ketosis and all this stuff to be able to manipulate their bodies. And in the end, their health is suffering. Their health takes a toll every single time when they do that. But you do it raw vegan style. You stay steady. You look like you're ready to get up on stage 365 days a year. And for you, it's not willpower, is it?
No, because it's not about willpower. I'm truly thriving and living and loving. I mean, I'm so excited. I love my food. I love my lifestyle. I love my training. It's euphoric, and it's kind of like that. They call it that raw food glow, and I truly just I'm in love, and I just am so happy and truly, like I said, thriving is the word that always comes to mind. I am truly, truly thriving in this lifestyle, and it's a lifestyle that is so, there's endless opportunities to you know, create these amazing meals and this variety. And I think that sometimes when you're looking at your traditional, you know, fitness or figure or bodybuilding diet, that it's very restrictive. Or you're looking at anybody that's diet. Maybe they're not a competitor. Maybe they're just, you know, a person that wants to has physique goals. And it's all about restriction and deprivation. And when you follow a whole foods, plant-based diet, it's about nutritional variety and broad spectrum nutrition. And the possibilities are endless as far as what you can eat and what you can combine and how to make it work for your body and for your goals. When you're dealing with things like nutrient timing and when you want to eat certain types of foods and, you know, how you want to pair your nutrition around your training, all of those basic philosophies that you have for just, you know, typical training and sound nutrition, they apply. Just to what you're feeling your body with is different. But, I mean, the philosophies and the practices and the research is still the same. It's just kind of what you're putting in your body is real whole food. Your body recognizes it and thrives on it. And you don't get those highs and lows. You don't get those crashes. You don't get that yo-yo. It's not a diet. It's a lifestyle. And that's why you can look and feel amazing all the time.
Right. So let's get down to some details here. Karen writes, she wants to discuss vegan competitive bodybuilding. I thought, what better person to bring on the show than you to discuss that? So let's talk about your workout and your nutrition regimen. And I want to first ask, do those things change as you're preparing and getting closer to a contest?
Oh, definitely.
Let's start with as far out as you can think of right now, as far out before when you think you're going to compete, how many months out do you begin getting ready for your contest?
Well, for me, I tend to stay kind of pretty close. I stay where I need to be year round.
So in your off season, what does your typical training regimen look like?
What I like to do for me is, first of all, I do a lot of functional training and plyometric type training. The way I might want to do my training split is, for me, I'll go in and let's say I'll do upper body one day, lower body, and then I'll do a total body. And so, maybe let's say Monday I'm going to do upper body. Tuesday I might do lower body. Wednesday I may take a Bikram class. I love Bikram yoga or Hatha yoga. Mm-hmm. Then maybe on Thursday I'll do a total body class.
Total body. Cool.
Or a total body workout. Then on, let's say Friday, I might do, again, another maybe a Bikram class. And then I'll go back to maybe, upper body, low. So, I tend to do upper body, lower body, total body, and then I'll throw in, like, classes. I love to hike. I love to be outdoors. I like to mix in the hot yoga. But then I also, depending on what my physique is looking like, because, again, my particular training is tailored to my physique needs, I definitely put an emphasis on glutes and keeping the glutes exactly the way, kind of like we need to keep them nice and round and tight. I might throw in some.
Do you have a hard time keeping a nice tight firm butt, or are you trying to get more like a bubble?
I can thank my genetics that I got a fairly good shape to work with. And so for me, it's always, you know, that maintenance is always kind of there. I always believe in maintaining a nice backside, but then always room for improvement. Because again, as you start to age, you can tend to, you know, see the glutes tend to drop just a little bit. And so I always want to keep them nice and high and tight. And so I'll do a lot of glute training to kind of keep them right where I need, right where I want them to be. And, you know, but I mix it up. If I feel that, let's say I need to spend a little bit more time on my upper body, maybe I'll do a little bit of body part isolation. Or if I'm working on, you know, working on my legs a little bit, maybe I'll throw in some additional, you know, leg work or finesse work. It all just kind of, again,
so do you work out 7 days a week?
I'm doing something 7 days a week, yes. But just like my nutrition, I train intuitively, just like I eat intuitively. If I feel that I need a recovery, then I'll take a recovery. But, you know, but for the most part, I am doing something 7 days a week. Whether it's yoga or a hike, or I'm actually in the gym or doing the Santa Monica stairs or something like that.
Oh, right on. So take us through a typical upper body workout.
For me, like if I'm going to do an upper body, I may do I like to do a lot of like pull or push. Maybe I'll do I tend to do supersets or triple sets. So I might do, let's say, a lat pull down, followed by maybe a shoulder press, followed by mountain climbers, and then maybe some ab work. And I'll do, you know, kind of repeat that cycle maybe three times. And then from there, I might go to doing, let's say, a rear delt move, followed by maybe a low row. And then maybe some jump squats or lateral leaps. And then let's say for another thing, I might do some type of lateral raise, whether it's seated or standing, followed by, let's say, pull-ups and maybe throw in a little bit of biceps. But again, I always, I tend to do supersets, and I always throw in a plyometric explosive type of movement. For example, like if I'm doing upper body, for me, I might want to do mountain climbers. I'm putting a little bit of, you know, emphasis and a little bit of, you know, activating the delts and stuff by doing mountain climbers.
Yeah,
or,
sure.
But I'm still kind of targeting my abs as a total body. So there's a lot of, like, functionality to the way that I train. As far as, you know, I do a lot of explosive things. I do a lot of core. And then again, I'm making sure that I love muscles. I love to train hard and lift heavy. And, you know, so I bring that in as well, and kind of just create this combo platter of what it is that I love to do. Because again, I have to love it, and you know, and then what's going to give me the results that I need for my physique.
So what are like the rep and set ranges that you use?
And again, I vary that. So I may go where I'll do higher reps. Let's say maybe a 15 rep range. For maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe even as long as 4 weeks, and then I'll switch it up and I'll drop to a lower rep range where I'll do maybe a 6 to 8 rep range. And so a lot of times I'll pyramid up where I'll go maybe weeks 1 and 2, I'll keep it at like a 12 rep range. Then maybe week 3 I'll go up to maybe a 15 rep range. And then on week 4 I'll go back down to maybe a 6 to 8 rep range. And so I'm always kind of challenging my body. I've been doing this a long time and kind of just keeping my body guessing what I'm doing, just so I never plateau.
That's awesome.
And I like to keep it fresh.
That's awesome. And how long does it take for you to do a typical workout like that?
My typical workout, well, it's tough because I don't like to train with headphones on. I don't like to have just that dissonant sound always in my ears. When I go and train, I kind of like to hear myself breathing, and I really like to be present in the moment, kind of that mind, you know, muscle connection. But when you don't have headphones on, people kind of want to come and be chatty. And I'm always very friendly. I'm never too busy to stop and give courtesy to somebody if they have a question, or, you know, or just to be kind of, you know, polite or whatnot. Much to the demise of some of my workouts, but it's probably, I would say, about 60 to 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so your upper body, so you're mixing in some plyos and explosive stuff. So in an upper body workout, you'd be spending anywhere between 60 to 90 minutes.
When I factor in kind of the time I step in the gym to the time I leave, but actual training time is probably 60 minutes.
60 minutes. Oh, okay. So that takes about an hour to do. And then are you giving yourself a lot of rest in between your supersets and triple sets?
You know, when I'm going from, when I'm doing like a superset, no, there is no rest time. I truly go from one to the next, other than just the lag time. Sometimes I have to go across the gym to kind of get to where that next.
After you complete a superset or a triple set,
I would probably say, depending on how quickly I'm going or whether I'm doing a high rep range or a low rep range, if it's a quick rep range, sometimes I need to catch my breath a little bit. But likewise, when it's a heavy rep range, sometimes I'm so fatigued. So anywhere from, we'll say, 60 seconds to maybe 3 minutes.
Oh, wow. And so how do you choose your weights when you're doing your exercises?
For me, I always push myself, and again, my base comes from figure, and so I tend to want to train heavier. I'm very strong, and so I tend to really push that just because I like to train heavy. So I know what my baseline is because I've been doing it for a long time, and so, you know, I always start off with my baseline and, you know, work to, you know, increase that. I still look to experience gains in my
So are you trying to lift as heavy as you can for your rep range?
Some days, yeah. When I'm training on a lower rep range, I tend to want to go a little bit heavier just because I like it. And again, you have to love what you do, and I love to lift heavy, but I don't need to have the bulk that I needed for figure. So that's why I bring in lower rep ranges and a lot more explosive training just to kind of, you know, keep my physique where it needs to be. So as far as guesstimating where I should, rule of thumb is if I'm wanting to do or keep my rep ranges in something that I can only do 12 to 15 times, then I know how to adjust my weight accordingly. And as I start to truly go to failure, if I'm failing at 12, then that's my weight.
Okay, so you're going at the max of your rep range.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, that's great. And we're going to wrap it up right there. I hope you enjoyed that and learned a lot. In the next episode, you're going to learn about the details of Mary Jo's lower body workout, how many reps, sets it takes to get that hot physique, also what she does to burn fat with a boot camp style cardio workout that she created by herself, and finally how she changes her workout during, quote, peak week, which is 1 week before a show. Stay tuned for that. I know you'll love it. And don't forget to download your free vegan muscle building guide. Go to veganmusclebook.com. Thanks so much for listening. This is Thomas Tadlock from the Vegan Body Revolution Show, and I will catch you on the next podcast.